It's the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there. Melissa and James here with you at 8:04 on the clock. We're joined right now by our good friends in the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
And good morning, Michael Kerr here filling in for Paul today.
I'm just going to keep calling you Paul. No, Michael, how you doing? It's good to talk to you. It's been a while. How you been?
I'm doing just great and enjoying this nice warm weather here finally.
Good to hear. Good to hear. What has Mother Nature got in store for us, Michael?
Well, a very nice stretch of weather pretty much now all the way through the end of your work week, and then looking kind of soggy, unfortunately, for your upcoming weekend, and we are looking to trend cooler as well for your weekend, but definitely not the case for today. We're headed up to some upper 70s for highs by this afternoon, with just a few passing the thin high-level clouds from time to time for today, otherwise still a decent amount of sunshine. Winds will be out of the southwest around 5 to 15 miles per hour. Then for tonight, mostly clear skies, overnight lows dropping back into the mid-50s. Wednesday looking to be our warmest day, calling for a high of 84 degrees there for tomorrow. Abundant sunshine along with some breezy southwest winds at 10 to 20. Thursday still well above average in the upper range of the 70s, and we get one more dry day on Friday with a high of 76. But then a strong cold front and area of low pressure look to work in from the west on Saturday, bringing some widespread rain to the region. Saturday, a high of 63 degrees. Much cooler temperatures into the day on Sunday, especially only calling for a high near 49 degrees with a chance for rain. Maybe some wet snowflakes mixing in very early in the morning. And for your Monday, highs pretty close to 50 with a slight chance for some lingering showers there. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Michael, I'm asking you to be honest with me. Is spring over already? Is it by Sunday in the 40s and everything? I didn't think I was going to hear 40s again, Michael.
No, it's not going to be over. April is a pretty variable month when it comes to temperatures. So we're going to take a break on those warmer temperatures there this weekend. But next week, I think we'll get back to some 50s and 60s for highs. But yeah, definitely make the most of those 70s and 80s while they last the next few here.
Mother Nature knows we haven't put our sweaters away and all that stuff. Just give us one last chance to wear stuff and everything.
Just don't put the snowblower away.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, then we'll get a big storm for sure.
Of course, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Appreciate you, Michael. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Yeah, kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, but man, we get some really nice temps before it happens.
Take it. I'll take it. I got to wear my Chuck Taylors today. I'll take it. any chance to wear just gym shoes, I will take that. We got some fun things lined up this hour. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. Looking forward to that. A little bit later, some fun, random, weird, wacky facts for you. Looking forward to diving into those as well. Right now, it's an interesting article, and it actually brings back a topic, a recurring theme for us about the four-day work week. This is something that you really championed early on, sent a lot of information to me, and I've learned a lot about it. And you've got Seth on you and behind you on this one, too. So I think it's an interesting one whenever we see different data about it, because I genuinely believe that we're getting closer and closer to that day. While I don't know if it's going to happen in my work life.
Right.
I'm not sure. But that doesn't mean that's I mean, I've only got about 30, 40 years left here, so I don't know. That's still a close amount of time when you look at the big picture and everything. So I do think it's going to happen one day. So every bit of data we get from this is kind of leading towards it, good and bad. Because this is interesting. Young people sometimes give older folks a bad rap for being resistant to change. But we might not get four-day work weeks because of younger people. Forbes just published the results of a work-related survey, and one of the questions they asked was about people's interest in four-day work weeks. And surprisingly, not a lot of people were into it. Just 32% of older folks would like to work one less day. Those are people between the ages of 58 and 76. And interest declined from there. 24% of people from 42 to 57, 19% of people 26 to 41, and 12% of workers from 18 to 25 wanted that extra day off.
That's surprising.
From what it's worth, it's unclear how they pitched it, though.
Yeah.
Here is the catch. Mm-hmm. This is why. Because I think, like a lot of people, the times we've touched on this, we've gotten exact opposite data. Mm-hmm. We've gotten literally the exact opposite data. You can throw into any search engine you want right now and see what I'm talking about. More overwhelmingly, 74-75% of people in those age ranges are in favor of this.
Mm-hmm.
For what it's so that is a key part of this. They didn't mention whether it was fewer work days with the same pay, fewer fewer work days with less pay or fewer work days with more hours per day. So 40 hours in 4 days instead of five. Mm-hmm. They gave no descriptions to this. So this is not only a bad survey.
Yeah.
It was not properly done, Forbes. Mm-hmm. But also seems like, coming out of Forbes magazine. Does anybody else see this as a little bit like, I want to tell you about the greatest TV show of all time, The Simpsons. It's in Simpsons magazine that's telling you this. Like, is it as shocking to anybody that Forbes magazine, the magazine for billionaires and millionaires and everything, is telling you these 4-day work weeks are horrible? Look, younger people don't want them. Mm. Hey, you CEOs out there that live in a bubble and don't get information, have nothing but yes men
no
surrounding you and everything.
No connection to reality. Yeah. The rest of us
don't even bother paying attention to that whole 4-day work week thing. That's
Nobody
just something
that.
Poor people talk about. Like, any other magazine in the world comes out with this article, and I'm not questioning it nearly as much. I'll be honest about that, but it does seem like they presented this to kind of favor themselves and where the positioning themselves.
Well, and if they didn't, I mean, they haven't given any of the parameters of what was given to the people, to get these answers from them and where it was given. You know, is this done in the United States? Is it done in Europe? Is it so many questions.
The way that this has been presented to me and the data that I have read is just I work a 4-day work week. It is not as though I'm trying to jam 40 hours or every little bit of work into that 4 days. My job has changed a little bit with the 4-day work week. Mm-hmm. So what I'm not doing, the other person that's coming in is going to be filling. Mm-hmm. And et cetera, et cetera. That's how this works with almost any position, any job.
Right.
It's not that hard to figure out. This is not rocket science or anything. Somebody, you either hire more people or you spread the work out. There are ways around this. Mm-hmm. We know there are ways around this. People do it all the time. There are tons and tons of mom and pop businesses out there that have nothing but part-time workers. There are tons of business. Culver's Chips here in town in Wisconsin Rapids mainly hire high schoolers. Mm-hmm. You think they ain't got schedules to work around? Or anything? You think they work 5 days a week or 7 days a week? I know that some of us did in high school and everything. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. They're outliers. But for the most part, we deal with this in society all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is that difficult to work around. I honestly think this should be more of a thing where if I was a company, if I ran Nike, if I ran Amazon, any of these companies, I'd present it to my employees. Like, what do you guys want to do? What do you think? This is what it'll mean. This is how it'll affect you. This is how it'll affect your insurance, your pay, et cetera, your 401k, all these things. Mm-hmm. And see what you want to do. Now, you're never going to get 100% of the vote, I know. But I think you feel it out. I think you read the room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think for the companies to come around, they need to start seeing more data, which they have been seeing in these countries that are trying it. Spain and other parts of the UK, I think, have been given it a go. A few companies. And once they start seeing the data that people are more effective in mm-hmm. their jobs, they can get more accomplished because they have less burnout. And if companies can see that they would make more money mm-hmm. doing this, that's when they will come around to the idea. I don't think there's any other way to get there.
I think I need to be honest with the audience, too. Part of the reason I want this is for the American workers, for people. I think that it would generally be good for mental health and for businesses. I genuinely think this would be great for the economy. Mm-hmm. You're freeing people up a lot more. They're going to consume more. They're going to take in more. They're able to spend their money a little bit differently. I genuinely think that. But I do all this because I'm a workaholic, and I need this. Like, the only way I'm going to stop is if they, like, force me to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a rule. I can't
to
work
tell
more.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, like Sage at the door, like, James, go home. Like, I don't want you here. I don't want. I do think we are closer and closer to this. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of things, we get so caught up in things, and it's understandable because life is just moving forward. But we are a young country. We are mm-hmm. still a teenager compared to Russia, China, other countries and everything. We're still figuring some things out. We're still working a lot of these, you know, the kinks out, going through growing pains, all those things. I think the 4-day work week, I think, you know, any of these kind of subjects, they're going to have, you know, 50-50 from an audience. Mm-hmm. They're going to, because we're still learning about the subject.
Right.
As we understand it more, as we get it down more, we're going to understand, hey, does this work for us? Doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't just choose the number 5 for a work week. They figured that out. They figured it out through a process of elimination. Hey, we can't work our workers 7 days a week. That's not working. I guess we got to give them some days off. So they figured that out. They just magically came up with the number 40 to equal a full work week. That wasn't something that science gave us or anything. That was some bunch of business and managers, owners and stuff came up with and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if you look back in history, maybe you've seen this meme going around. Peasants only worked 150 days a year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they had way more holidays than we do.
Yeah. It's funny how we romanticize a lot of that stuff. It's interesting. Not to take anything from the workers, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, life was really horrible then for peasants.
Yeah, yeah. You did not want that life. No. Mm. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. We got celebrating to do. Misty's menu talk conversation to have coming up. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Oh, it's this one.
Of course it is.
Should we be singing along with this one?
What's with that pause?
Yeah, the pause throws you. The pause.
Pong pause.
It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get to Misty's, you're going to walk into one of the most original atmospheres you've ever been. You're going to get some of the best food you've ever had, great prices. All that is topped by the people.
Service.
Yeah, just great people over there. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. Wish them a good morning from all of us. And if you are celebrating a birthday today or any day coming up, let them know over at Misty's. You get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
Woohoo.
And we have Seth telling us that is good pie. And that is a good reference right there.
Yeah, Chair of the Pie Council. Is that his title?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We have five names, four possible qualifiers today.
Oh, nice.
That is pretty cool. So give me a 1 through 4, if you don't mind, Melissa.
I'm going to choose 4.
All right. That is my favorite number. I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. That gives us our go-ahead and qualifier. So we can go ahead right into celebrating. First up, I want to wish my cousin, Selena Devec, a happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Selena.
Selena's great. Wonderful lady. Actress and does a lot of good work out there. I believe she's still acting. Selena's great. Wishing her a great birthday.
Yeah, have a fun one.
Want to wish a happy birthday to Nikki Rubin.
Happy birthday, Nikki.
Nikki is a wonderful singer. Got a great voice. Really nice voice.
Excellent.
Want to wish a good friend of ours here at the station, Ben Holberg, a happy birthday. Ben, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Ben has joined us many times. Last I checked, I haven't talked to Ben in a little while, but he was a local EMT and has joined us talking about that before, but as well as he refs for some of the wrestling promotions around here.
Oh, cool.
And when they do events to raise funds and awareness for things, Ben will usually join us to talk about it. Great guy.
Awesome.
Was in Almost Maine with Ben. That's how I met him. Great guy. Hey, really good
That's
guy.
A great show, too.
Yeah, really fun show. Mm. Former high school partner of mine, Rhonda Ruschmeyer.
Ah, happy birthday, Rhonda.
Rhonda and I used to cause a lot of trouble. No, Rhonda's great. Rhonda's wonderful. Wonderful mom, wonderful wife, all those things. Great mind, great human being, and a really funny sense of humor. Enjoy your birthday, Rhonda. And our qualifier today, Michelle Benkowski.
Happy birthday, Michelle, and congratulations.
Benkowski. I want to make sure I'm getting that right. Benkowski, I believe. Michelle, I got right. It's a beautiful name. Love that name. Michelle, you're our qualifier.
Woohoo.
Want to thank whoever got us all these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming to us, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com. You can send it to any of our staff here. We all have pretty much the same email, james.maloff@civicmedia.us, melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
K with an E.
Yeah. Or you can direct message us on Facebook, just like our Facebook page, and direct message us through our search bar, or through our DM. Just get a hold of us that way. Let's take a look at some celebrity names. Joss Stone is 36. Very talented British singer, songwriter.
I'm trying to remember songs.
Yeah, I can't think of her hits off the top of my head. But
Right to Be Wrong, Super Duper Love.
She's got a bit of a soulful voice.
Yeah.
Lights is 36. That's a Canadian pop star who sings Drive My Soul and Toes. I know the song Toes. I just can't think of...
I don't know either of them.
Yeah, I don't know this one either. Alexandria Ambrose is 42, Victoria's Secret model. Don't know who that is. Tarika Helfer is 49. She's the blonde Cyclone number 6 on Battlestar Galactica. And she was Carla on Burn Notice.
I liked that show, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that was one of those early shows where it got canceled and a lot of people were very upset about it. And it kind of got brought back because of all the feedback that people had gotten about it. One of my favorite actors of all time, James Earl Jones, or James Edward Almost was on that show.
Oh, cool.
Latin, I think he was the captain.
Oh, I can picture him. Mm. And I can't remember his name. In the show, I meant.
Yeah, yeah. let's see here. Jennifer Esposito is 50. She was in Spin City, Crash, and for a time, she was on Blue Bloods.
Hmm.
Good actor. Good actor.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
And let me see here. Let me see. Goldust is 54, the former WWE wrestler.
Really?
Yeah.
Goldust.
Yeah, it's a heck of a name. Lisa Stansfield is 57, biggest hit all around the world. She had some other ones, too. Peter Reigart is 76. He was Boone in Animal House, Seth Green's father on Dad's, and Carol Kane's boyfriend on The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. He's had a good career.
Hmm.
Joel Grey is 91.
Wow.
He won both a Tony and an Oscar as the MC in Cabaret. He's probably most proud of being Jennifer Grey's dad.
Hmm.
But Joel Grey, because I was going to be in Cabaret. I was going to play Joel's, not Joel's character, one of the characters in Cabaret. So I watched the old movie and was reading up on the because I wasn't as familiar with it, and I needed to get really desensitized to some of the stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
For a very long time, I was bothered by any like propaganda from World War II, Nazi propaganda, stuff like that. It would get under my skin. It would bug me a little bit.
Okay.
And I didn't like that it had that control over me. Mm. So one of the reasons I wanted to do Cabaret was there is some of that in Cabaret. Mm. And along with that, it's a singing role. And I hadn't done a singing role in a long time. And I wanted to be able to face these things. I don't like things having that power over me, especially something like that. The reason I have a tattoo specifically on my left arm right here is because that's where my people were tattooed during World War II. I take it back.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And that play really helped me with that, along with Joel Goodness. Joel was a big help throughout that, too.
Oh, good.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to do the play, but I thankfully I got through a lot of things through that. But with it, got to see Mr. Grey's performance and everything. And Joel Grey, incredible performer. Incredible.
Nice.
What a performer. Complete all-around talent.
Hmm.
Back then, it seemed like most people were, though. Like, it was more surprising to see somebody who wasn't a completely all-around, like, you know, could sing, dance, do it all and everything. It seemed like all the stars back then could do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they had to fight hard to get into those positions, I think. So they really had to be the best of the best.
I think especially if you go early back, so many people, all they had was vaudeville. Mm-hmm. There was no, like nowadays you go to an acting school or acting class and they, well, what do you want? Do you want to do TV acting, movie acting, film acting, stage acting? What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one style of acting back then. There was only one way to do it. I think with that came an all around skill set.
Well, and also the education that people received then. I mean, think about they taught dance in school.
Mm-hmm.
They taught, you know, that was a big part of what they did, hanging out, you know, just like spending time together. They danced, they sang, they played piano, they played instruments. All of those things that we aren't as focused on anymore.
Goldust's full name is actually Dustin Rhodes. I wanted to actually give his real name. I meant to just to go back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a really good point by you, Melissa. I agree. I completely agree with you on that.
I mean, they still taught dance when I was in high school.
Yeah, I remember.
I learned the foxtrot.
That's how I learned how to swing dance.
Almost got my ankle broken by Justin Whitmer.
Justin, come on.
Yeah.
Two left feet Justin. That's how we all knew him.
Only guy I remember from high school, though.
I
still remember his name.
I don't know Justin. I don't know.
No, he's a good guy.
That's funny. Is that a rite of passage that every boy has to step on a girl's foot at least once early on in life so that they know never to do it again?
Like I don't know.
I don't know. We do know that we had some great birthdays today. Want to thank everybody that got us these birthdays. Thank you so much. Happy birthday to Selena, to Nikki, to Ben, to Rhonda. And a very, very happy birthday to our qualifier, Michelle Benkowski.
Yes. Happy birthday, everybody.
Do want to remind everybody to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. And also, we are still looking for our March winner. Tracy Lee Dean. Would Tracy Lee Dean please report to the principal's office? Tracy Lee Dean, please report to the principal. We just want to get her free Misties. Like, she's not in trouble or anything. No. Like, we just want to get her free Misties. If we don't have somebody by Friday, we're going to pull a new winner on Friday.
Yeah. So, we'll have to do that. Somebody let her know. Because we would like her to have her free Misties.
Appreciate that. And appreciate our friends over at Misties Menu. Treat yourself. Get on over there right now. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us and wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Now for Melissa's News here at Locally Grown Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mumble number 5.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Melissa and James here with you. Got some fun stories to get into. We got some interesting stuff coming up right now. A lot more interesting than this song.
I like this song.
It's not a
horrible
song.
It makes you
want
to dance.
It's just, my problem is, Melissa, as big as this song was, so many people hadn't heard Mambo's 1 through 4, and they were completely lost. They had no idea what the song was referring to. You got to hear the first 4 Mambos to really understand. Oh, now I get Mambo number 5. It's a story. He's a storyteller. This is a... No, I have no idea. I love the idea, though, of people like right now Googling, what's Mambo's 1 through 4? What's a...
Same thing that happened to Chanel.
Yes, yes. We've got some fun random facts, wacky, weird, wonderful random facts to get into. We don't get a chance to do this very often. On Tuesdays, Melissa and I sometimes will do idioms, give you the history of those. But I thought we haven't done random facts in a while.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and have some fun with these. According to a study out of Harvard, adults spend as much as 47% of their waking lives letting their minds wander.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. 47% sounds about right.
Well, sometimes they got a mind of their own.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Very often I have to say, thank you, brain, for telling me that. And now stop talking.
Yeah, yeah. I need you to be quieter now.
Yeah, just take a seat in the corner because I don't need to know that right now.
Talking a little too loud. I need you to... You're at
take
a 10.
It down a tone.
Yeah, I need you about a 5. I need you to lower that voice, conscience. Softball was originally called kitten ball.
Kitten ball. Oh, I see why that didn't stick around.
Yeah, yeah.
Kitten ball.
That yes, yes. That was a very smart marketing move by them to change that. Not as...
Did they call the ball the kitten?
I hope that they did. I hope.
Man, you hit that kitten hard.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what the?
We're just talking about the game.
We're just playing sports. We're just... I love the idea of what softball leagues have become, like beer leagues and stuff like that. But I'm part of a kitten league. Just hang out with the guys every once in a while in the kitten league. That's what we
down
do.
Down at the junkyard bar.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Hey, what team you on in the kitten league this year? What?
Oh, I'm not going to.
Yeah, yeah.
That took a left turn real fast.
My mind was going some places that the FCC would not want us to. So, yes.
Nope. But I was also trying. Okay. The long-haired Siamese.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There
yes,
you go.
Yes, there you go. Nicely done by you.
Trying to think of cat names, like actual breeds. I don't know that many.
I guess I don't need Tabby.
That's not a breed.
That's not a breed. That's not helpful. Doesn't help at all.
We're the orange tabbies.
Yes. The Spice Girls were originally going to be called Touch. And their 5th member was a woman named Melanie Collum and not Victoria Beckham.
Hmm. Interesting.
That ended up changing, huh?
I had somebody ask me once, it was Pat Kreitlow one morning. They must have had a Spice Girls song playing that day. And he asked me what spice I would be. I said cinnamon. I should have said curry. I would be curry spice.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
Since you didn't take it, I'll take cinnamon then.
Okay.
I'll take cinnamon. There you go. I'm cinnamon spice. I'm baby. I'm this. I'm cinnamon. One of these things doesn't work. In the 1930s, before the breathalyzer was invented, police used something called the drunkometer.
Drunkometer.
It was a huge device that required a person to blow into a balloon. Now, it wouldn't be doing my journalistic duty if I just mentioned the drunkometer and don't show my good co-host here a picture of it and everything. And they got some interesting ones here, Melissa, of these.
Okay.
It is a gigantic, like the device itself.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It looks like a like one of those home kits.
Yeah.
Scientific kits that you would get in the 50s.
Yes, like, yes.
That's what it looks like. But I remember seeing that on a movie. Mm. Flubber. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Flubber. Yeah.
Where
yeah,
the guy is trying to blow yes. into the balloon yeah, as catch. The car is flying over.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, this is we have figured out a much better way.
Yes.
I do like this sign. Don't mix booze and business. A chemical test for drunken people. The drunkometer. The drunkometer is going to save lives.
It sounds like something that you'd see on Roger Rabbit or
you know,
one of those old cartoons. Yeah. Pull it out. The drunkometer.
All the pictures of people are so unrealistic, too. It's all these people smiling nicely, blowing into the balloon in the camera. That is not how that went down.
Obviously, that balloon... She's not actually blowing into it then if she's smiling. Yeah. You can't smile you and blow at the
really
same
really do
time.
That. I think that you didn't even need all this other stuff. You just needed the balloon. If you give a drunk person a balloon, they're probably going to try to like make an animal with it or something like that. Like they're not going to, and even if they are able to blow it up, they're going to be so impressed they were able to blow it up. You're going to be able to tell. they're going to be talking about like the one, the Super Bowl or something like that.
90 miles a minute.
I don't know if you needed all these other pieces. I don't know. let's see here. Keeping on moving. Arby's, the fast food chain, was the first to ban smoking in its locations back in 1994.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That's
no
interesting.
Idea. That is. Let's get some more here. A scavenger beetle called the Regenima barta atuna can escape a predator like a frog who's already eaten it. It just has to scuffle through the frog's gut and force its way through its you-know-what, and then it emerges alive.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a horrible life. There's no therapy for that. There's no bug therapy to get you through that. There's no.
What
like,
about the poor frog?
It's okay. Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Yes. Yeah. There's no frog therapy or amphibian therapy to involve that one either.
I mean, rumbling in your guts takes on a whole new meaning.
That that ain't right. That ain't right on either end, literally.
Right. but that's, you know, very impressive. It can withstand stomach acid. I mean, stomach acid is not nice stuff.
Yeah. That is a tough beetle right there. That is also a beetle has to have seen some things.
I don't know, it's pretty dark in there, James.
Armadillos are the only mammals with shells.
Hmm.
I feel like I've heard that.
I've heard that too. Hmm. And we probably learned that in second grade or something.
Yeah, yeah. They are cool animals, though. They are kind of cool animals. I've seen a couple of them when I was in Texas. They're pretty interesting
I've
animals.
Never seen one in person.
They're kind of cool. The original Nintendo was almost called the Entertainment Learning System.
Probably would not have caught on.
No.
Quite the same way.
Plus, we would have broken it. We would have given it an acronym, so we would have called it an ELS, and that just sounds like a disease. That just sounds like, an infliction, or I don't know, something.
Well, and that's a name for a class in school now.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Nope. Yeah, Nintendo seems like a good fit. Seems like they got it right on that one. The opposite of anonymous is onymous.
Oh, anonymous?
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know this. I am not exactly an English major. That's the term for when someone puts their name on something. So we are ominous about things when we sign our name. That is quite interesting.
That is interesting because ominous, the word ominous has a very different meaning. Like something is foreboding. It's something like the clouds are ominous when it's going to storm. Mm-hmm.
And doesn't, That is interesting.
I didn't realize that word had another meaning.
This one I knew, but I don't think I knew the some of the details of this and everything. But I've read Jim Henson's biography, two different ones actually, and studied him quite a bit. He was one of the bigger influences I've ever had is Jim Henson. Mm-hmm. I think that many, many of us can say that. Maybe you don't even realize how big of an influence Jim Henson was on you, but yeah, you were one of those kids that enjoyed Sesame Street or The Muppets or any Muppet in history of your lifetime. You've enjoyed Jim Henson's work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jim Henson made his first version of Kermit the Frog out of one of his mother's old coats and two ping pong balls. He talked about how, so you notice a lot of the times on the on Kermits that you would get, like especially those 80s Kermits that they sold in stores and things like that, his eyes looked like they were going in different directions in some ways. Mm-hmm. That was done on purpose because Jim Henson did that on accident with the first ones and he had no more ping pong balls.
Oh,
so
no.
He had to stick with the two that he made and just kind of worked around it, worked with it and everything because one of the greater improvers really there was Jim Henson. you really know how to improv when you're moving these puppets and everything. You never know what can happen on a live show like Saturday Night Live or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fascinating human being. Quite an interesting man Jim Henson was. And as a cool, I have a version. I think that there is like a pictures of Kermit the Frog. I want to say there is. I'm just going to look really, really quick here just in case.
The original one, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. The very first one he made. And I think this is it. Yeah, it's at the National Museum of American History.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty good.
The Kermit looks very similar to that now. He's just a very much different green. He's very light green. It's almost like a sage color.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his nose is very pointy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Kermit. That smile, that face just makes me smile.
Mm-hmm.
Lay it up. There's something about it. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We're going to mention something that McDonald's has got coming up and some other fun things. It's the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
The message is perfectly simple. The meaning is clear. Don't ever stray too far. And don't disappear. No, don't disappear. Ever had the feeling?
Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. It's got an 80s vibe going right now. Melissa and James here with you. I'm going to take you to the top of the hour with nothing but fun and positivity and some interesting stuff. And, you know, you put Melissa and I in a room together, you never know what can happen.
Hmm.
Live radios, live mics. I mean, come on. You're asking for it.
You pretty much are.
If you've already torn through that Easter candy, something else sweet is on the horizon. Starting tomorrow, McDonald's will have a new McFlurry on its menu, a strawberry shortcake McFlurry.
Hmm.
It's their normal vanilla soft serve with strawberry flavored clusters and shortbread cookies mixed in.
Sounds decent.
They've actually had it on the menu in Singapore for a while, but it's the first time that they're selling it in the U.S.
Hmm.
It's available at participating locations nationwide, but it's a spring thing, so it's only around for a limited time, of course.
Of course.
McDonald's ice cream machines are notorious for breaking down, by the way. If you want to make sure you can get one, check this website first. A few years back, someone launched the site McBroken.com. It tells you if your local McDonald's ice cream machine is working or not.
Really?
At any given time. Around 10% of them are out of service.
Oh my goodness, 10%.
Now, I remember doing, we did an article a while back on this about a study about these things. And if this was some thing that McDonald's was doing on purpose to mess with sales or any of these things or something like that. And the study found no, it's not on purpose.
Wouldn't want their machines to not work because then they can't sell product.
Yeah.
And it probably goes bad.
This is interesting. So it pulls up and it's able to go over like all the local. I got a McDonald's here and the McDonald's in Rapids, Schofield, Mosinee, Wausau, Nakusa, Marshfield, all working. The one in Toma, not working. Interesting.
And that's a 24-hour McDonald's too.
Oh, is it? Oh,
mm-hmm. Well.
Interesting. Wow, this is actually a really good map.
That's a cool website.
You just float over.
Jumped you to another part of the country.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting. Like, well done, McBroken. Well, how sad is that?
Now, I wonder how they collect that data.
Yeah.
Do people at McDonald's call them?
Yeah.
Are they connected to the actual machines? Like,
That's such a good question. Because I can't imagine that McDonald's would be okay with this.
Probably not. Unless it directs them to another nearby McDonald's, you know. Somebody wanted to go to McDonald's to get a McFlurry or a ice cream, whatever.
True.
Like, all right, well, I could drive here, but it's broken, or I could drive here. This one's not.
Right now, 10.43% are currently broken around the country, including 20% of them in New York and almost 20%, 19% in Dallas.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
That is. Again, mcbroken.com if you're interested in that and checking it out and everything.
And you can also find out where all the McDonald's are in the country.
Yeah, there you go. I personally think that the whole bringing an item there and taking it away thing is gotten really lame. Like, it feels like such a tacky, kind of lame way of marketing. Now, I'll say, I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook in the back there doing fast food. And when they add these things to the menu, that's one more thing they got to learn, one more thing they got to do. And when you have these items like a McRib or something like that that's only available for a small time, that's a little less on these chefs and these cooks and everything in the kitchens and stuff. So I don't want to make light of that. Yeah. That being said, the industry is what it is. And it's all about options. And I don't see... I don't know if it's good enough. Keep it around. Like, I understand maybe like the one that they do for St. Patrick's Day or whatever.
The Shamrock Shake.
Yeah. I understand that stuff. Like seasonal holiday stuff. I understand. Not so much seasonal stuff though. Like that. It's fall, and sometimes you want a pumpkin
strawberry pumpkin latte pumpkin shake.
Yeah, but sometimes you want that in the summer. Sometimes you want
Well, I have to disagree with you, James, because I think that it's a actually really smart business model because it does keep their menu small. They only have so much storage space,
right?
And it's not like a fast food place, I don't even want to say the name of, that just takes their ingredients and reconfigures them to make something else and then take the actual good stuff off their menu. But I digress. they only have so much space for it. They only have so much menu space. They have so much prep space. So it is a smart business model to bring more people in to try their foods, but not overwhelm their cooks.
I'll say this. I'll say it because if you don't want to, Taco Bell is basically like that artist that had that one hit, and they just keep like remixing it and remaking. Here's the dance version. Here's the 7-inch version. Here's the and all that. They just keep rehashing the same song over and over.
I'm gonna feature a pop artist on it.
To me, and I agreed with points you had there, but if McDonald's was the only one doing it, then I would think, okay, yeah, that's a really smart idea. And don't make light of the adding on to chefs or adding to your freezer in the back and having to have 1,000 McRibs in there because it's all year round or whatever. If it was only McDonald's doing it, I'd get it. But everybody tries doing this kind of thing. And it becomes, when everybody does it, it becomes parody and it becomes a little lame to me. But I not disagreeing with your points. I think you still make obviously valid points. Just me, I'm owning a restaurant. I'm going to push my advertising people to do a little better. I'm going to push my company to do a little better than just, hey, you like that burger? Give me that. You only get it 2 months. Then you're going to wait the rest of the year. That's what you get. Come back to Jimmy's. It's like, no. It's worked for them. I mean, is there a bigger fast food chain than McDonald's?
No,
I mean,
they're multinational, which is, I think, part of the reason why they do that.
Right.
But to be fair, though, in other countries, they have very, very different menus.
Yeah.
Because they tailor toward local cuisine.
Royal with cheese. This is an interesting one I wanted to dive into. This has surely happened to you. You're on an elevator, the door is about to close, and someone else is rushing up. Do you try to hold the door, do nothing, or secretly push the closed doors button? A new poll asked people if they've ever intentionally hit the button to close an elevator's doors because they wanted to leave without the other person. 31% of people admit that they've done that, and 61% of people claim that they haven't. The people most likely to admit it are millennials from the Northeast, while boomers from the Midwest are least likely to do it.
Midwest, nice.
Yeah. And 36% of people say that they think it's happened to them. Someone else has closed the door on their face. But here's the thing. Only 43% of people think those close the door buttons are actually work. 25% think that they do nothing, and 12% think that they slow the process of closing the doors.
Does the opposite.
That's funny. To be clear, the poll asked if you've ever done this, not that it's something you always do.
Mm. Yeah.
I have never done the, please shut doors, please shut. I've never done that, but I've had it done to me.
Oh, have you?
I was going around, I think it was like a couple days after Halloween or something like that. And we're in the apartment complex of my aunt's, and it covered bridges in Naperville. And it is a very nice area, very nice neighborhood, all that stuff. And I don't exactly look the most, like, even now, I don't look the most approachable, let alone back then. I sure didn't. But I had no malice. I wasn't looking to do anything bad or anything like that. I was trying to find my aunt. And the elevator's going, and there's this little old lady in there, and she sees me, and we lock eyes. And that woman did not make any, like, she didn't try to hide it one bit. Like, she's smashing the button. She's like, just, like, you would have thought I was coming at her with a chainsaw or something like that. Like, I was just me. I was just, you know, skinnier version of me, littler, you know, probably dirtier, and, you know, probably didn't look very approachable. But I don't think I looked that bad or that intimidating or anything. That woman wanted to get away from me. Like, she saw me coming.
Well, and to be fair, if she was in there by herself, because that's when you asked the question, that was the first thought that popped in my head. As a woman alone on an elevator, if there's a guy that's coming toward the elevator, that might be the only time that I would consider pushing the button, because you're locked in a tiny box space for, granted, it's a very short amount of time typically, but that you're vulnerable.
Right. Yeah. I understand that I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. I get that I don't get that.
But I'm sorry for the younger you that happened to you, because it probably didn't feel nice.
I know that there's not a woman alive any age from 2 to 102 that could not whoop my butt. I physically cannot do anything. You got me. But she doesn't know that. She doesn't understand that. So it is good to hear that kind of stuff sometimes, because young me didn't know that especially. Young me thought, oh, that lady just doesn't like me or anything. It could have had nothing to do with the fact that anything other than I was a man. And that's an understandable thing, I think. It's understandable that I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I get that.
And it's not great to feel that way, to judge people like that. It's not comfortable.
Have you ever done anything like this? Have you done a whole lot? Have you been in a whole lot of elevators? Have you?
Honestly, no.
I was going to say.
I don't encounter a lot of elevators. When I was a teenager, I worked out at Fort McCoy. Mm. So we would do this to each other jokingly, because there was an elevator and we used it all the time in housekeeping. And then you got to take your carts on and off, and, you know, you'd see somebody come in and be like, hold the elevator for me. Nope.
Yeah. It is fun to do to friends.
And it's not like we could have all fit on the elevator anyway when you're on there with a cart.
Yeah.
You're so like, sorry, you won't fit, but you always send it back.
That does make it a little more difficult. Yeah. That does. I'm more concerned with the close talker in the elevator.
Mm.
Like the wants to ask you what time it is, but they're like, there's like only you and them in the elevator, but they're still
standing right next to you.
Yeah, yeah, they gotta like, that's
a little creepy.
Yeah, I've had that a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, especially out in California, and I didn't quite get that. Like that.
No, that's a little bit of an invasion of personal space.
There's this thing called elbow room, you know,
right.
like there's a little bit of room. There's a little bit of, or there's the other one though where they just I don't mind being ignored. We're strangers. That's mm-hmm. fine. But the need to like go out of your way to do it or something, like like you're basically putting a magazine in front of your face or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, it's all right. There's, you know.
I think that elevators got a little weird during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Too, because people were nervous about being in closed spaces and close to each other. And I wonder if that's kind of changed the dynamic. But I've seen the skit. Well, I don't know if it was the whole skit, but where you get into the elevator and you stay facing
yes.
the back.
Yes, yes,
you walk
yes,
in
yeah.
and just face the back yes. and there's other people in there.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wonder, this is rhetorical, not specifically directed at you or the audience or anything, but I wonder if we've evolved the elevator as far as we're going to go. I wonder, you know, with we keep making bigger buildings and things like that and everything, and I'm curious, we are getting better with buildings.
So. And I think elevators have gotten better too, honestly,
yes.
because
yeah.
there was one I was riding on recently in a very, you know, newer building in Minneapolis, I think it was, and you couldn't even tell it was moving.
Huh.
Like, there was no sensation of movement, and yet you just went up six floors.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Fast, and then also no movement. It was weird.
It's pretty awesome that we are going to have Terry Hummus, Central Wisconsin Gift of Life event. We're going to be talking about with Terry coming up in the kickoff, the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have some entertainment news, good stories, that ain't right stories, and plenty more. It is Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.